Hi, this is Pastor Jack Gibbs of Real Radio, and I want to give you another reason to vote, and that is to defend the Constitution. Did you know that the freedoms you enjoy, it doesn't matter if you're a libertarian, independent, Democrat, Republican, nothing. Did you know that when you were born or you immigrated to this country, that you were given certain unalienable rights that the Constitution identifies as being a gift given to us from God? The Constitution defends you and your personal liberties, both personal, what you can speak, and private ownership, the Constitution. That document is the envy of the world. One party wants to change it, and one party wants to preserve it. I'm encouraging you in this election to vote Republican. That party stands for the Constitution, and to vote for President Donald J. Trump. He has shown us that he reveres the Constitution. So join me, because it's time to pray, vote, and stand.
Today on Real Radio.
I think the number one reason why we've got the issues that we do in the church and in our families is because men have abandoned their God-ordained biblical authority. God has given the man, the husband. You say, I'm not a Christian. Guess what? Marriage, God invented it. And even if you're not a Christian, God honors the place of a husband. Did you know that? God wants you to be the right man.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1. The Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living really transcends through the ages. We can live holy lives and have godly influence while submitting to human authority. But before we venture into chapter 3, we need to understand that God is the one who designed marriage, a man and a woman who come together as joint heirs in life. Peter is talking to Christians when he speaks of that powerful influence the wife has in the marital relationship. In Peter's time, the wife was considered, well, a servant, but her conduct and submission to her husband shows the loving example of Jesus and his relationship towards his church. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God is a God of order. He created marriage and designed it to work in such a way that honors him. Lasting togetherness, well, that's possible when the husband and wife submit to one another as they both submit to God and his authority over them. And now in his message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I think the number one reason why we've got the issues that we do in the church and in our families is because men have abandoned their God-ordained biblical authority. God has given the man, the husband. You say, I'm not a Christian. Guess what? Marriage, God invented it. And even if you're not a Christian, God honors the place of a husband. Did you know that? God wants you to be the right man. By the way, your wife wants you to be the right man. Your kids want you to be the right man. And the second thing is that women by nature, I'll prove it in a moment, women by nature will fill the void when the man's not there. You know, can I just say this collectively? I don't have anybody particularly in mind, so don't get upset with me. I'm just saying it collectively. And there's a lot of people viewing online, so maybe it belongs to them. How's that? Not here, but somewhere else, there are men who just don't pray for their families. They don't have a spiritual presence. They might even go to church, but they don't have a spiritual presence in their home. They're non-existent there. You know what happens? If there's a hole, it gets filled. And mom or wife will fill the hole. Some men will say, well, that's cool, whatever. That's tragic. You're out of order, sir. You're out of order, gentlemen. God says, I want you to show her what I'm like. God is saying, I want you, sir, to show her what sacrifice is. I want you, sir, to show her what love is. God has set this as an order in government, in the home. The power of that, God will honor. But a woman will fill the void when it's not there, and I'll prove it. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 1. Follow that with me. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, I told you before, that freaks me out. So whatever is going on, the serpent can talk and Adam and Eve thinks it's cool. Did all the animals talk? I don't know. But snakes talked. I don't like that. And he said to the woman, who's he speaking to? Eve, yeah. Has God indeed said, casting doubt on the Bible, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the tree or the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. So now he's accusing God of keeping her eyes closed. That, you see, Eve, God's not been exactly fair to you. He's been withholding things from you, Eve. Do you guys hear this? Is this not how our culture works? Mm-hmm. Well, if you really knew what was really going on, you know that innuendo? You can almost, you know, it's creepy, right? That you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, wow, and saw that the tree was and desirable to make one wise. Interesting. You know what's implied here? To make one wiser. Are you hearing me? Psst, hey, girl, you want to really be able to see? Yeah. Do you really want to know everything? Uh-huh. Do you want to be the wisest, the sharpest? You want to be on top? Yes. That's what he told her. Good, Eve. She took of its fruit and ate. Okay, from the sidelines, can't you hear us? Adam, step up. Adam, where are you? Where's Adam? He's not there. Look at your Bible carefully. It says, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Okay, listen, scholars will talk forever about this. Watch. Either some scholars will say, Adam was right there. I have a hard time believing that. So Adam's watching this. Okay, listen, this is crazy. How could would a man even do such a thing? So there's Eve, there's Adam. They're there doing whatever they're doing. And this, so what's up? And this thing starts talking to Eve. Psst. Are you kidding me? So Adam's like, or maybe he was like this, texting on a stone or something. Seriously, what in the world's going on here? Adam, where are you? Some scholars will say Adam was there. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. She was somehow alone. Adam was somewhere over there gardening, doing something, planting flowers. I don't know what he was doing. He wasn't there. There's some sort of a gap. He shows up and she offers it to him. Isn't that how life is? Life's like that. By the way, when you do something, remember when you were young, you're invited to the first party, maybe, I don't know, a junior high, high school, whatever. You go to your first party and you know you're not supposed to drink. But you get there and everybody's drinking. Have you noticed what happens? You can be fine. I remember this like it was yesterday. I went to my first party. I was just a kid. And I knew, I was not a Christian, but I knew when I showed up, there were a bunch of drunk idiots vomiting. And I'm thinking, this is fun, huh? There's something wrong with this. And I was with a friend of mine. We were both on the team together. So we went to this thing. And these people are drunk. And I remember this. Hey, come on. No, it's okay. No, come on. Have a beer. No, it's okay. Come on.
Peppa Pig.
It's like, what's the deal? Do you know what I'm talking about? What's the deal? What's it so big to you that I have this? So listen, you know what we did? Glenn and I, we went and got two beer cans. We poured out what beer was left in them. We put water in the cans and then walked around like this. Hey, what's up, man? What's going on? Isn't this great? We faked it. We knew something was wrong. But I found out something in that very, very first encounter about a party is that those that are sinning are not happy unless you're sinning with them. They won't back off. That's why when you stand for righteousness in any community, you'll get attacked. Things will get thrown at you. People will put you down. Oh, look, you got a little Christian t-shirt. What's your problem? It's a free country. I'm a Christian. I'm going to wear my t-shirt. No, you know what? We stand there maybe. What? Don't wear that t-shirt again.
Okay.
What's wrong with us? Satan deceived Eve. And what does the Bible say about that? It tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the pathology of it, that's for all of us. Do not love the world or the things that are of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the three categories of sin that Eve fell for, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. It's amazing. Satan lied and Eve died. She died spiritually in that moment. Just for note-taking, we'll visit these other verses soon. It says, wives, likewise, submit to your own husbands. Your own husbands. I told you God has a government. In your note-taking, you might find this interesting. Regarding relationship and marriage, it's the word cosmology, the cosmos. You know the cosmos, the universe? Do you know the word cosmos? By the way, cosmos is the opposite of chaos. Those are two Greek words that are completely antithesis to each other. So listen, regarding relationship, cosmos. Cosmos. Opposite of cosmos is chaos. God is a God of order. So listen, when it says for us to submit, I say us, watch. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Why? For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Translation, wives, be submissive to your husband. Why? Because he is the savior of your life, of your home, not salvation savior. He's your defender. He's your protector. He's your head. It works this way. Not arrogantly. Not authoritatively, lovingly. We've all experienced this. Have you been pulled over by a police officer? Yeah, three of us have. Does he or she have the authority to do whatever they want within the law? Yep. If that police officer says, you know, next time, watch it. By the way, nice car. And compliments you somehow, whatever. And the officer goes and gets back in the car and you think for a moment, whew, that was a close call. What a nice guy. What a nice officer she was. That person had the authority, but they didn't lord it over you, did they? According to God, the husband is the head. He's the one that God will deal with regarding the family unit. But he's not to turn and say, woman, listen, ladies, anytime a man says, submit, okay, you have a big problem on your hands. There's a lot of stuff you got to unpack in that house. Okay, you need to come into the office. We need to start working through this. Because that thing's loaded, that environment would be. So how can you say that? Well, it's simple. Watch this. Colossians 3, verse 18 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. That was first century revelation. Peter, Paul, this is amazing. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having not spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Listen how a wife is to be loved. But that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. So he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Look at the example. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. So make sure that happens, ladies, that your husband has cut the cord and the apron strings of mom and dad. You're not marrying mom and dad, you're marrying him. And the two shall become, what? One flesh, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ and the church. Remarkable. Marriage is the only thing on earth that is the example, the illustration of Jesus in the church. Ephesians 5, verse 21. I love this one. By the way, you're gonna wanna write this down, especially ladies. Ephesians 5, 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That verse precedes verse 22 when it says, wives, submit to your husbands. The whole family's to submit to God. You see that? God is number one. The man answers for the family and the woman answers to the man, but not like you think or you feel. Kind of goes like this. We'll have to wrap this up soon. Kind of goes like this. So I think this is what the Bible teaches, and this is how I seek to live my life. Ultimately, you have to ask Lisa. She would know. And it would be this. So I'm making this up now. So the topic is vacation. And I might say, you know what? I really think I've been praying about vacation and where we would get the best for the dollar and the best relaxation for the time. And I think it should be the Rocky Mountains. And she says, I've been praying too, and I think it should be the Mojave Desert. those are two extremes. And so, well, you know what? Let's just keep praying about it. Let's keep talking about it. And let's just work it out. And as time goes by, it comes down to this. You know what? There's great arguments on both sides of the fence. We can, you know, freeze in the mountains, and we can burn to death in the desert. So, tell you what. I think that we should go. Next time we'll go to the desert. This time we're going to go. And the wife goes like this. You know what? I vote desert, but you vote mountains. Fine with me. It's no hill to die on. I'm with you. Let's start packing. And now women, when you do that, you release your husband in answering to God. Sarah was a good example of this. Sometimes she wasn't. Sometimes she was. Sarah and Abraham. But ladies, the temptation is, first of all, there's great liberty and power for you to do that. Okay, sweetheart, let's do that. If you get a flat tire half mile down the road on your trip, but you ladies, it's a tough one. It's like, mm-hmm. All along the way, the temptation is, told you, right? In doing this, you're honoring the Lord by honoring God's order. There's equal times when I think we should go to the mountains and she thinks we should go to the desert, and I say, you know what? You've got your argument's better. I'd love to go to the mountains, but you're right. Let's go to the desert. That's our marriage. That's Lisa and I. That's how we live. It's not like, oh no, I'm gonna die on that hill. We're going down over this one. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. God wants a cosmology. By the way, the order, cosmos, the science, the study of order. You know cosmetology? We'll get to that next week. Makeup, all that stuff, cosmetology. Do you know what it is? Cosmo, it means setting an order. Did you know that? To put makeup on. The word means to set in order. It means to take chaos and set it in order. God bless you. It's been nice. No, I'm kidding. I should stop. I should stop now. Let's stop. There'll be a car waiting for me to be taken away. But let's do stand right now, because, you know, we've talked about some serious things, but if you're living in a home where there's a non-believer, you know what's worse than that is living in a home with a man who says he's a believer and he's not in lifestyle. He's a false believer. He's fake. The churches are full of guys like that. Let's pray right now that God would move in this church, right? Father, we come to you today, and Lord, I pray that we would all have a stomach and patience and time these next several weeks as we invest in what marriage is, what it ought to look like, why it is what it is, why you have defined it as such, why there's a cosmology to it. And Father, we pray right now for those marriages here that are great. They're just awesome. Wonderful marriages. I pray that you'd keep them wonderful. Father, for those marriages that are struggling, we pray that this series pointing to the Word of God would be used by you to remedy and heal what might be, like Solomon said, just little foxes that spoil the grapes. They're not big monumental things. They're just little things that keep tripping up this marriage. We pray that you'd heal that. We pray for those who have a marriage with a non-believer. God, that please, Lord, all of us collectively agreeing right now, Lord, is it too bold of us to say, if it be your will, that during this series, that they might even get saved? That they might come to know you personally, Jesus? And Lord, to the man, to the woman who says they're believers and are not, we pray that you, Lord, would humble them in their pride and show them their great hypocrisy, that they might turn from their sins and put their trust in the one true God who loved us to death, the death of the cross, and rose from the dead that we might have eternal life in him. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today, and our prayer is that you embrace the Lord's vision of a blessed and powerful marriage. When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, don't forget that we're offering a DVD set on 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. It's called When God Gets a Hold of Your Marriage. Now, this four-part message is available for a gift of any amount. It is a powerful message that provides a guideline for both spouses on how to be an effective and godly influence in each other's lives. You'll find it right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Where is America headed? If the radical left has their way, it will be socialism, keeping you, your family, and your God locked up. Mike Huckabee says,
if we yield over and decide that America is not unique, it's not special, it's not extraordinary, well, at that point, we've already capitulated to nothingness. We no longer are the United States of America.
Now, a documentary after Trump, A Warning to America. This must-see film is now on demand, featuring interviews with Mike Huckabee, Jack Hibbs, Franklin Graham, Eric Metaxas, and Dennis Prager.
The left, in the words of Barack Obama, want to fundamentally transform the United States of America. I don't. I want to improve the United States of America because I love it. You can't love something you want to fundamentally transform.
Watch on demand now. After Trump, A Warning to America. It's time to rescue our America. Go to jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. View on demand or get your own DVD copy to view and share with a friend for your gift of any amount. jackhibbs.com/aftertrump. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.